Well, today I've learned there are reasons not to eat Christmas cookies. We're in church. It'll ruin my lunch. I just ate breakfast. I'll get crumbs on the pew. That I thought that one was just lame, but you know. Maybe Matt told him to say that. Thank you for participating. Some of you look amazing. Where are the reindeer antlers? Yeah, there were a set up. There she is. You know, those of you who are live streaming can't see what I can see. This is amazing. Reds and greens and reindeer, Santa Clauses, and people with cookie crumbs all over the front of their... I love it. Thank you, thank you. And you know, there's a reason why we're doing this. It's not just because. It's because I wanted to do this. You know how long it is between Christmas cookie seasons? It's like a whole year. Thank you. And I thank all of you who baked cookies. You are indeed elves worthy of praise. But Christmas in August, you know, singing Christmas carols, eating Christmas cookies, reading the Christmas story. And I know some of you are really probably thinking, Les has lost it. And the rest of you are going, oh, this is so cool, we get to eat cookies in the sanctuary in August. You don't even get to eat cookies in here in December. But I do hope I have your attention, because I want to share with you today, I'd say briefly, but you know better than that. I want to share with you today, while I have your attention, about a gift that God has given to us. And it's a gift that I think if we embrace it for what it is, becomes the perfect gift for us to give back to God. And it's the idea of being still. And those of you guys who understand how your brain works, I know you know you've got this little room in your head where when you're there, nothing goes on, other than back here, this part of your brain saying, breathe, 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 you know. And women don't get that because they don't have one. It's their loss. But it's not that. It's a different kind of be still. And I think Psalm 46 was written particularly for people like me, and maybe for some of you, people who are constantly on the move, constantly surrounded by noise, literally inundated with noise, people who need to be reminded that it's good to stop, to flat out stop. And in this psalm, and it's not a long psalm, but in this psalm, Psalm 46, the psalmist offers for us some amazing portraits of God, of Jesus, of the one who came close at Christmas, the one who visited us by way of Bethlehem. You see, the psalmist is going to portray God as our environment. He's large. He's really large. He's without edge. Which is really cool. He's also portrayed as a safe place, maybe a covering, maybe a fortress, maybe a life hug engulfs our whole lives. And God is also portrayed as the antidote, the cure for life's worries. You see, in his embrace, in his presence, we have reason to be calm, a reason to let fear go. And each of these gifts, each of these portraits is for you and for me. And so what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to go Christmas shopping with you in August in search of a gift that fits our lives, but a gift that's worthy of the one who has given everything to us. And so I invite you and to open up in your Bibles, if you have them with you, turn on your devices to Psalm 46, and we will begin not at verse 1, but we will begin with the preface. There's a little introductory line, and if you were in a Hebrew Bible, that would be verse 1, and your verse 1 would be verse 2, but we're in an English Bible, and for some reason, we don't count verse 1 as verse 1. It's an introduction. So the introduction for this particular psalm reads, "For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song." Well, what this introduction tells us is that this particular psalm was written for worship. Psalm 46 is a song, and it was written by one or more of the unnamed sons of Korah. They're at least mentioned, but they're not named. They were Levites. They were worship leaders. And then there's that phrase, according to Alamoth. And no, that is not a woman's name, like Madonna or Pink or, somebody with just one first name or one name they go by. That's not what's going on there. It is a Hebrew word that we do not, get that, we do not understand. Now, we know what it means. It literally means girl or virgin or young woman, literal meaning. But sometimes words have to be understood in the context. In this particular context, as the introduction to a song, a choral number, perhaps it's a reference to high voices, female voices, or falsetto. And though we're not sure, Alamoth is most likely direction for the choral group that was going to sing this, and we were looking for something in the higher range of sound, higher voices, or maybe a smaller instrument that offered higher notes. And you can relax. It's okay that we don't understand all of this. You can add it to your list of questions for Jesus when you get to heaven. But we have instructions here for the choral group, and that leads us right to verse 1. Notice what verses 1 to 3 offer for us. And as I read these, they bring to mind pictures that I've seen of natural disasters. And I wonder what this will bring to your mind. Listen. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. Selah. Another Hebrew word that leaves us wondering. I wonder if they all have something to do with music. Most likely, this is another instruction for the worship leader. And whatever the choir group, the choral group, or the band was supposed to do, this word tells us this is when it was supposed to happen. Nothing happened. There are no Hebrews around this morning to tell us what was going to happen. But one of the things I get excited when I see these words as I'm reading through Psalms, words like Selah and Alamoth and other words like that, what it tells me is that planned worship has been around for a long, long time. Verses 1 and 2, the psalmist describes for us our position before our relationship with God. The psalmist here is making factual statements about God. These are not human opinions. These are facts. And these statements, they transcend faith. These are true whether you believe them or not. And that's exciting. To know there's some things that we can't fully plumb the depths of, but they're true nonetheless. And when they talk about God, that should be encouraging. That should be calming for us, that God himself is bigger than we can fathom. And also, we need to keep in mind that the value of our believing in is not what's important. What's important is who we believe in. You could believe in me. You might not even get a cookie out of me. But if you believe in God, he offers life. He blesses. And here, two things are told us about God. He is described as our refuge and our strength. The portrait is a picture of one that is larger than us, larger than what scares us, larger than what threatens us. And he covers us in face of that. He surrounds us in face of that, a refuge, a safe place. He is described as an ever-present help in trouble. God is constantly, always, every place, every moment, every circumstance there. We just have to acknowledge it. We just have to own that he's there. And all that he has comes to bear on the moment with us. These truths are good for us to know. And they're also a reason for us not to fear, not to be anxious. You see, God, God is more stable than the earth itself. And for most of us, most days, the earth is pretty stable. It didn't go anywhere. But there are occasions where the earth does move. It changes. Earthquakes, volcanoes, raging waters. We've seen this on television. And perhaps there might be a few of us here who've been in the midst of one of these catastrophes. And we know that it changes everything, not just the ground, not just the water, but it changes the lives of those who are impacted. And some people, hundreds and thousands of miles away, are impacted. Well, that's a picture of how our lives come up unglued, how we are upended by some of the things that happen in our lives. And it's the same God who can control those things, can also move into our lives. For instance, when a relationship comes unraveled, sometimes it's bigger than we can imagine fixing, but not with God. He can wrap himself around that and provide healing and wholeness. Employment is terminated. Health issues become a crisis. Finances get dicey. God moves closer to those who acknowledge that he's there. And he becomes a safe place. He becomes a solid foundation. And it's in moments like these, it is nice to know that we have this kind of God, an ever-present help. What an amazing gift God is to us as he reveals himself to us. And it is in these harder moments of life that you and I can actually move from receiving from God to giving back to God, because what he's looking for from us is our attention. And in some of these harder than life moments, what he's asking us to do is be still, to stop, to pause, to not do, to just be in his presence. And in that moment of surrender, to realize what he has given to us. Because sometimes our problems move us to a frenetic state where we're no longer thinking. We're just feeling. And what we're feeling is anxiety and fear, doubt, wonderment, not a good kind. But in those moments of being still, giving back to God the thing he wants most. You see, when he created us to enjoy him and to enjoy us. But it's hard to enjoy somebody as they're running by. Whoosh. And sometimes I wonder if God allows stuff to come unglued so that we will stop. You see, as I see it, God gives so that we might give back. You see, God came among us. Jesus came to earth. That's what Christmas is about. But in his giving, in his coming, in his being among us, he gives us the opportunity to give him the hard stuff. Now, I know if you stop and think about that, what an amazing deal. He gives us life. He gives us strength. He gives us health. He gives us solutions. And all he wants from us is our hard stuff. Give it over. We give over our sins, and he gives us new life. We give over our problems, and he gives us peace. We walk with him through things, and he gives us growth. Well, this is why we're stopping in the middle of the summer to think about Christmas. Because 7 months ago, we could have talked about this, but we were busy talking about other things, and I didn't want us to miss this, that Christmas could be any day that we stop and receive God's gift, that we stop and play with God's gift, that we just stop and in some ways become a gift to the one who first gave. Verse 4, the psalmist is going to use a few more word pictures to help us even better understand God. Verse 4 reads, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. And he lifts his voice and the earth melts. And the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Now, there's water here, but this is in contrast to the destructive waters of verse 3. There is a water that is a source of refreshment. This is our God, and He is a gift to us, His presence. Now, whether the psalmist was speaking of the city of Jerusalem or to the heavenly city, the image here is of proximity, closeness, being nearby. God is with us. God is among us. God is around us. And today, this side of the launch of the church, the body of Christ, God is within us. But we don't feel any of that when life comes unglued. And we don't think what that all means. God's not passive. He's not just hanging out in case we need Him. God is an active force. I don't know, do you feel Him banging around inside you? Bumping up against that choice you're about to make towards sin? He does that. Do you feel Him inside you when you're anxious and somehow you just suddenly start to calm? Well, that's God. He's an active force. And the psalmist here, he's painting pictures, amazing pictures of this God who is an active force. The city, our safe place, is safe not because of the walls, not because of the fortifications or weapons. It's safe because He is there. And He is ready to move on our behalf. And all of this became very real for you and me in a little box in an animal pen in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Now, let's be honest. We want to win, don't we? We want to be on the winning team. We want to be on the side that scores the most points. We want to get ahead. We, at the end of the day, want to be the one. Yay! But God's offer is not based on our striving. It's not based on the score that we have. It's not based on our trophies. Instead, it's just a gift. And the psalmist affirms God's offer to be there with us, for us, on our side. What an amazing gift from God. Help when it's needing, healing when it's needed, wholeness when we're broken, and His presence. If. You see, what God wants, what God desires, is that something from you and me. He doesn't need anything. He has everything. He is the source of everything. And yet He desires. He moved heaven and earth to make His desire a reality for Him. And what does He bring to the table? His everything. His power, His wisdom, His might, His healing, His attention to the least detail of our lives, the least concern that we have. And what does He want? Our attention. To be still and to know. And that's what Christmas is all about. The manger, Emmanuel, God with us. A gift set before us. The shepherds gave their awe and wonder to Jesus. Mary treasured everything she saw in her heart so she could ponder it later. The little drummer, oh, wait a second, it's not in scripture. But the little drummer boy played for Jesus. What will we give Jesus? What have we given Jesus? Or what have we withheld from Jesus? Have we missed Christmas? Maybe that's why we're celebrating Christmas again. Maybe in some small way or a large way, we missed Christmas the first time. We were caught up in Christmas, but we missed Christmas. Verse 4, there is a river whose stream makes glad. I'm not big on getting wet, Carol will tell you that, but I am pretty excited about jumping in this river. Because I want to be flooded with the presence of the one who brings peace, safety, wholeness. Maybe you're not sold yet. Verse 8, there's more. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Every time God intervened or intervenes, it's a miracle. For the first audience, Israel's history spoke. God had been amazing. He had repeatedly rescued his people. He fought the battles for them on many occasions. He parted the Red Sea. He parted the Jordan River for his people. He provides things for you and me because he still moves. He still offers these kind of miracles, though for you and I, most often it's guidance, it's healing, it's company, it's help, it's wisdom, it's companionship, it's support of his body, the church. He brings his power to bear on our lives. He rescued whole nations, but he's interested in you as a person. He moved bodies of water so people could walk on dry ground, but he's interested in you as an individual. Everything he has comes to bear on you. In verse 10, captures his heart's desire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Stop your striving. Just stop. Full stop. Consider my claims and trust me. Stop and listen to me. Enjoy my presence in your life. Well, the problem is, we want to win. We want to get there. We want to finish. We want to move on to the next thing. We want to be able to say, I did it. I finished it all. And you know as well as I do, there are so few nights, if any, that we set our head down knowing that it's all done. And sometimes we lay there tossing and turning because we know we can't do it alone. But we miss the words that are offered to help us because we're too noisy, we're too busy, we're too distracted, we're too busy going and doing and accomplishing. And Jesus, he's inviting us just to be. Actually, to be still. To just be still. And in that still, to know him. To know him in his fullness. To know him in the moment. To know him through the moment. And what we'll realize is verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Can you feel the fortress around you? Can you feel the safe covering that he places over you? Can you recognize in the moments when life is racing at you or over top of you that he offers to be there with you? You see, if God is near, and he is, we're not alone. And so fear should fade away. And if God is near, and he is, we are not without resources. And our hope should blossom again. And if God is near, and he is, we are not limited. And our courage should increase. And if God is near, and he is, my friends, we are not exposed. He shelters us. We feel safe. Christmas in December, Christmas in August, Christmas all year long is God come among us. It is an invite for us to draw near, if only out of curiosity to see this wonder that has happened and to ponder how that wonder might impact our lives. He invites us to stop striving, to be still, I wonder this morning, is that your experience? Has that been your experience? Feeling alone, turning to Him and realizing, I'm surrounded by someone. Feeling fearful, turning to Him in realizing I am not alone in this. Feeling weak, can't lift it one more time. Turning to Him and recognizing you can lift it all day long till the cows come home. Be still. Be still. Would you pray with me, please? Father, this morning, we probably, every one of us, need to admit we are too busy, too noisy, too preoccupied, less curious about you, less still with you. I pray that as we laugh with the reds and greens and the antlers, the snowmen, that we're reminded that once, long ago, before all the decorations, Christmas began with your great gift, a child born in a manger, in obscurity, who is Himself our fortress, our safe place, our rescuer, our healer. Lord, as we lean toward you in our act of being still, surround us, bring us wholeness. We pray with anticipation. Amen.